This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The ACLJ puts Governor Newsom on legal notice.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
We have got a lot of information to cover today on the broadcast, so I want you to kind of, you know, get your friends involved, share this with your friends. We're going to cover what's going on the life front. We're going on talk about what's going on at the FBI and the Department of Justice. We're going to be talking about situation in Iran, which is reaching a critical point. We're going to be talking about the president's planned speech on Thursday, which looks like it's going to be a direct frontal attack on conservatives. So there's a lot to talk about, but I want to start, Logan, with the life issue, because this is happening, folks, 2 o'clock in the morning our time.
Yeah, working 24 hours a day on these topics, and this is the, what, if you're tuning in right now on social media, you have seen the title, and that's what we're talking about right now. Specifically, the ACLJ is getting involved legally where we can, getting things out there, because in California, they're passing some pretty extreme measures.
I mean, the most extreme measures, and we've put, putting this afternoon, Governor Newsom on notice about what he's done and what he's about to sign and the impact of it. Let me go right to C.C. Howe, senior counsel for the ACLJ, because, folks, this is really serious. And this literally came at 2 o'clock in the morning. We've been monitoring this for well over a year. We've been filing briefs. We've had people testify, lawyers testify from the ACLJ. The passage got posted at 2 a.m. And today, the ACLJ is responding. But let's let everybody know exactly what we're talking about here, Cece.
Right. So we're talking about California legislation. It's AB 2223. And it's the legislation that included, it's abortion legislation that included the perinatal language, which, as we've told you before, perinatal means after birth, up to a month, and sometimes even longer, depending on what definition you use, after birth. So not in utero, after birth.
So, I mean, I want everybody to understand what we're talking about. They are used, these states that are radically pro-abortion are using the phrase perinatal, not because they're getting it confused with prenatal. They're using the phrase perinatal because they actually believe that this kind of process and procedure would be fine.
Yes, it's intentional. We, like you said, we have been following this bill from its inception. We followed it through the House. We followed it through all the committees. We followed it through the Senate and all the committees there. Like you said, we had people actually testify, personally lodging our objection to this language. So we have watched this bill through the whole entire time, pointing out the fact that this problematic language is in this bill. And in fact, even their
what
legal
does this
team.
Bill allow?
Okay, so this bill, what's interesting is this bill actually addresses what a coroner can investigate, the deaths that a coroner can investigate. And so the language basically says, well, it specifically says, notwithstanding any other law, a person shall not be subject to civil or criminal liability or penalty or otherwise deprived of their rights under this article based on their actions or omissions. And when it talks about it, it says, or perinatal death due to causes that occurred in utero. And they think that due to causes occurred in utero helps them, but it does not, because the coroner cannot investigate, so you cannot ascertain what the cause of death was. This allows for a baby to die without any kind of investigation into that
period.
Death.
So not only do they authorize the procedure, Logan, they then stop an investigatory process to determine what actually happened here. So when they say they are going to become the most pro-abortion state in the country and they're proud of it, way beyond what anybody thought they would do.
Yeah, and absolutely. And that is why the work of the ACLJ is so critically important. And right now, we are in the last day of our matching challenge for this month. So that means all donations are effectively doubled. And we have work going on right now, like we said, 24 hours a day. It is not without the support of you, the ACLJ member and supporter. And you can do that right now by going to aclj.org/donate or just aclj.org. Make your donation today, because it really helps keep everything going and keeping the top team in place working 24 hours a day.
So that when you get a notice at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're ready to respond, and we did. So again, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Also support the work, as Logan said, at aclj.org. Share this feed with your friends, folks. We're talking more about the life issue, but coming up also, we're going to get into what is going on at the FBI. We're going to get into all of these issues today. So share this feed with your friends on social media applications. We'll be back with more in just a moment. back to the broadcast, everyone. By the way, this is the last day of our matching challenge campaign, so your support for the ACLJ at aclj.org is critical. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for it. The band's performing live tonight in front of an audience here at our studios, and we're going to be broadcasting it. I understand. Is it on all the social media platforms? Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, everywhere?
Yes, Rumble, Facebook, and YouTube, and ACLJ.org.
And ACLJ.org. So you can go to any one of these sites, and it's a great set. We look forward to doing it. Now, we just talked about the situation in California. We are sending a letter, basically putting Gavin Newsom on notice exactly what they're doing here, and then we're going to look at all the legal options, because this bill is becoming law. Like, this happened at 2 people need to understand this, Logan. This happened at 2 a.m.
Yeah, at the dead of night. At 2 a.m.,
Eastern time.
Eastern time, but still, you're talking about, what,
11 o'clock
p.m. on a Tuesday. These kind of things happen, and they do this on purpose.
Of course.
Yep.
And the ACLJ is we're responding today. Our response will go out today. But this is not all we're doing on the life issue. We're going to talk about these other topics, too. We're going to talk about the FBI coming up in the next segment. But let me tell you on the life issue. We are hitting this on a multi-state process. We got ACLJ handling the legal issues. ACLJ Action working on the legislative side of this. But this is important for people to know, CeCe. We are engaged right now in legal proceedings in 7 states.
Yes. So right now, just for the legal proceedings in state Supreme Courts, because as we told you, this battle for life goes to the states after the Dobbs decision. And so we literally have briefs that we are drafting right now to file because they're trying to claim Planned Parenthood is sued and tried to claim that there's a right to abortion to be found in their constitution.
Right.
Just like what the Dobbs case decided in our federal constitution. So it's in Kentucky, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Florida, Utah, Ohio, Georgia, and we've already filed in Michigan. So this is a constant battle that we're doing. We're not just following legislation like we are following in California when they have, you know, abortion legislation that we need to file. We're also following at the state Supreme Court levels now with the abortion issue in their state Supreme Constitution. So,
well, yeah, we said, Logan, that it was going to, once Roe was overturned, and we're glad it is because you got the club of Roe removed, but that it was going to be a state-by-state fight. And we're finding, I can't announce this case yet, but it's a new case that you're involved in and we're all working on.
Yep.
We can't announce it yet, but we will hopefully soon. But the states that are pro-abortion, the things they're doing are incredible.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it very soon, as soon as we can, as soon as all the paperwork is everything signed and ready to go. Because like you said, we're in all the states working, but there are new stories maybe you've seen over the last few weeks where, yeah, in public capacities, in private capacities, they're doing whatever they can to keep, especially when it comes to you know, crisis pregnancy centers and CPCs, and to make sure their voices are really squashed, whether that's on Google or Yahoo or whether that is through you know, mainstream media or events. And we'll talk about that as soon as we can. But we are engaging because what we have seen, I think it's, look, we have to be honest with our audience. Sure, you took the victory lap of overturning
Roe, which is great.
But now the fight is even more amplified, and the people who are on the other side are even you know, more opposed and are activated. And when they're activated, they can clearly get, and we're seeing it in California, and we're seeing it in other states, crazy stuff approved just because there are people who are very upset and very passionate about this issue. And look, we've been on that, the other side of that for the last 40 years, so it makes sense they would have an equal, you know, response to this, very similar. But so you have, you know, language going out that, for maybe for a person who doesn't understand some of these words, including maybe the governor of California, you know, everyone's favorite villain, you know, looks at it and goes, oh yeah, perinatal, prenatal, whatever, and signing these things, realizing how bad it could be. Everyone looked at something like a Gosnell in that situation, even those on the far left, and said, well, that's not what we're talking about.
That's disgusting.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Now you have that really getting into law and potentially completely legal in the state of California.
No, they think that this has given them the speeding limit has been removed. It's like now the Autobahn in Germany. Go whatever speed you want. Do whatever you want to do. So the states that are hostile, and by the way, some of the states that are not California, and like we said, we can't announce this case yet, or New York, a state that you would think would be moderately in the middle, so to speak, are doing things to pro-life speakers and organizations that are unbelievable. In New York, CeCe, for instance, not shockingly, we're fighting to keep CPCs in existence.
Right.
And that's the front line of the abortion fight
now. They're going to drain their funds however they can.
Of course
they
are.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the cases aren't just like the one in California when we're worried about language that's allowing for abortion up to after a child's actually born, after killing a baby after its birth. But we're also watching legislation that attacks the crisis pregnancies or the pregnancy resource centers. We are engaged across the board, across the nation, representing these centers that are being attacked by governments that are pro-abortion, and they want to shut these centers down. Of course, New York is one of them, but there are several more. And then we're also protecting them when they got firebombed and attacked, and states were not protecting them then. So we have a lot of clients across the nation, PRCs, pregnancy resource centers that used to be called crisis pregnancy centers. Yeah. And so it's not just one thing that we're focused on. If there's an issue that involves life, you can believe that we are engaged, even if it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
And in the Department of Justice, in addition to having to remove FBI agents for political bias, are having no problem going after states that are passing pro-life legislation. So the Department of Justice is looking at states that are passing pro-life legislation and saying, basically, we don't like the legislation that the state legislature adopted, you know, the voice of the people. So what we're going to do is tell you, we're not going to let you do that. We think that's ridiculous. We're going to file suit. But that the Department of Justice is having no trouble getting together.
That's right. So the Department of Justice, we just saw that in Idaho.
Right.
That the Department of Justice sued because they wanted to make sure that doctors would perform abortions in emergency situations, which, of course, the law in Idaho already provided for. So this is the DOJ wasting money on something that's already been a law and taken care of, but they want to make a point that they are pro-abortion and they will fight the battle for Planned Parenthood. If Planned Parenthood gets struck down, then DOJ will come in and take up the cause.
There's a comment that's coming in through Facebook, and we've seen it a couple times now through all sort of the platforms we're broadcasting live on. And this one talks about legal action. They said basically if this letter doesn't necessarily do the job, that law gets signed into law, or is there legal action that can be taken after that, and how can the ACLJ get involved?
So we're looking at that because it will be an uphill battle because the courts in California will be very hostile. So we have to be clear. But, you know, the fact that the court's hostile is not a basis upon which we should say we're not going to fight. So we are looking at all the legal options that exist right now to determine whether a state court lawsuit or maybe a federal lawsuit, probably state lawsuit, could be put in place. There are legislatures that are in the state of California. There are members of the legislature that opposed this. But I will tell you, they're doing this at 2 a.m. Eastern time. Not because they're proud of what they're doing.
Yeah, not on accident.
Exactly. You want to take this call?
Sure. We go to Roberta in Colorado. You're on the air.
Hey, Roberta.
Yes, my question is, I'll ask the question and I will hang up and listen for your answer. Is this bill any worse than the one in Colorado passed by our state legislators and Governor Polis?
Yeah, I don't think your bill in Colorado had perinatal in it. So I'm going to check that, but I don't think so. There are similarities between the two, but I don't know if it had the words perinatal. Can we check that out right now?
Looking into it right now.
Yeah, we're going to look that out. I think, and that we need to explain to everybody. I only got 2 minutes in the segment. That's a fundamental difference when you put the word perinatal in. And most people, here's what happens. It's like sleight of hand. They see perinatal, they're thinking prenatal. Exactly. Right. But it's not. And there's a reason for this. And this all started when the governor of Virginia, previous governor of Virginia, Northam, said, if the baby was born during an abortion attempt, make the baby comfortable and then basically terminate the baby's life. That's perinatal. So that's where they're getting this from.
Absolutely. This is a step further from a woman has a right to terminate a life while it's inside her when she's still pregnant. This is a baby that has been born alive. And technically, 28 days after the baby has been born alive, so it's 28 days old. If a baby's death happens during that time period, there's really no recourse. The coroner cannot investigate. Basically, it is just a given that it's a free pass for a death of a baby.
So Colorado, from our first glance at it, again, we're familiar with it, does not appear to use the term perinatal. However, it is an extreme law and goes way beyond what you would think would be normative abortion legislation. But look, the Department of Justice is not coming and challenging that to try to stand up from the unborn child who may have at that point been born. That the Department of Justice isn't coming in on. What are they coming in on? A state passes a pro-life legislation in Idaho, and that they want to file a lawsuit on. Folks, this is why the work of the ACLJ is so critical. We're in the last day of our matching challenge for this month, and you won't be hearing about matching challenges till the end of the year. But I'm going to tell you, folks, your support makes all the difference. If you're able to stand with the ACLJ, any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. And some of you, $5 would be a sacrificial gift, and we get that. Some of you, $5,000 would be, or $5 or $50, whatever the amount is, if you're able, and we stress the if you're able part, but support the work of the ACLJ. It is critical. I mean, you're hearing this broadcast 5 days a week, this information we're getting out, we're going to be going to dealing with the FBI in the next segment where ACLJ is involved in that too. So your support, Logan, people's support right now are critical. I want to thank you to all the people that already have.
Yeah, if you already supported, thank you. If you haven't yet, this would be a great day to do it. Last day of the matching challenge. Go to ACLJ.org. Also look for the great content that's on there each and every day. Not just this 1 hour a day. Incredible blogs and news stories that are posted there, as well as all our updates. Get involved at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to change topics. Another one, the ACLJ is involved, and we sent out, as you know, a Freedom of Information Act request to the Department of Justice on this special agent that was the deputy in charge of the D.C. field office who's no longer at the Department of Justice. And we did this because there were reports, and it came to Senator Grassley and Senator Johnson's committees, that there was extreme bias within these agencies. And in fact, this individual made negative statements on social media about then his boss, President Trump, and Bill Barr, the attorney general at the time. And he also opened up investigations involving the 2020 election. And this is all the reports are indicating kind of squelched, not kind of, the Hunter Biden investigation inside the Department of Justice, inside the FBI, I should say, which is part of the Department of Justice. Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, yesterday, we were talking before the broadcast, and we said we need to write about this. And Harry, you've got a really fascinating article up at ACLJ.org, and I encourage people to look at it. And it says, the title is Unmistakable Evidence Shows That the FBI's Deep State Operatives Are Worse Than We Think. And, you know, the truth of the matter is you wrote this yesterday, and even today, there's more evidence. But tell us the general thought of what you've got here, and I encourage people to read this online.
Well, essentially, it's important to keep in mind a little bit of context and background. We should note that President Biden has launched a vicious and deceitful attack on conservatives, calling them semi-fascists. At the same time, the Biden administration's deep state operatives have engaged in a revenge tour against former President Trump and conservative Republicans in general. And it appears that the FBI is essentially among the worst deep state operatives, the FBI and the Department of Justice. And so one of the things that we should keep in mind is that the DOJ and the FBI have lost credibility in the eyes of the public. And they've lost credibility for several reasons. They've interfered in the 2016 election campaign through the Russia hoax, which they knew was a hoax, that there was no foundation for that investigation. They fibbed, bringing false evidence, really, to a FISA judge, and that prompted a violation, if you will, of the Fourth Amendment. They've engaged in a raid on the former president's residence. And then we have clear and unmistakable evidence associated with Thibault?
Yeah, Thibault.
Thibault.
That's the agent that was the assistant special agent in charge, which is basically the deputy in charge of the D.C. field office. It's one of their biggest field offices. And he's the number two, basically. And he opens up filed investigation on the 2020 election and at the same time filters down the Hunter Biden investigation.
Yes. And the Hunter Biden investigation was a very important investigation. 80% of Americans today believe that if the derogatory information contained in that laptop were available in 2020, it may have affected the outcome of the election.
And this seems to be a common thread now. It seems like every election, a few months before, there's some big topic that gets either swept under the rug or added on. And look, yep. They said that about when the Hillary Clinton emails at that time, where it became a political issue.
Which it should have never.
And a political, divisive political issue on both sides, because he had the whole investigation. You had Comey, you had him coming out saying, you know, we got damning evidence. And the next thing it was, oh, well, not enough. And it became something that could potentially swing an election, could move that small percentage of people that are still undecided in an election and move them one way or another. And I think that would have happened with potentially the Hunter Biden laptop, specifically some of the stuff that we've heard that's come out of it in terms of the president now, Joe Biden, what has evolved there, not just Hunter's, you know, antics. You know, these were big issues. You know, I think a lot of people have done some research and looked in on specifically on that topic. A lot of people paint Hunter Biden as this, you know, kind of crazy, kooky character with you know, his problems. But the guy was pulling off wild deals.
Huge deals.
This is not a guy who is not smart. And I think we kind of have it in our heads a little differently. Sure, he's got his demons, as pretty much everyone does in some extent. But he was working for his family to get all of them paid and try to figure this. It was so complicated. And so, I mean, the pressure on this guy was massive. And what we've seen now is that some of the details, look, I'm not saying it was all on the up and up by any means. It could have been a disaster for Joe Biden if this content would have come out. And now what we're seeing is the repercussions of it coming out now, which are people feel on both sides, really. I mean, I'd say on far less on the hardcore liberal side, but on that moderate liberal side, they feel lied to as well.
You know, what's interesting here is so here's Merrick Garland's response to this. I'm going to say that we had this statement. Do we have the sound from where Chris Ray was asked about this and he said he was very disappointed when he learned this? I want to get that ready to play. We do have it. Let's go ahead and play it.
Isn't it true that Mr. Tebow, Agent Tebow, excuse me, and FBI Supervisory Intelligence Analyst Brian Otan covered up derogatory information about Mr. Hunter Biden while working for the FBI?
Well, again, I want to be very careful not to interfere with ongoing personnel matters. I should say that when I read the letter that describes the kinds of things that you're talking about, I found it deeply troubling.
Deeply troubling? Deeply troubling? This is the head of the deputy in charge of your Washington, D.C. field office. You're finding it deeply troubling that his bias was coming out in his work, which is fundamentally what the Fourth Amendment is designed to prevent.
Absolutely. So Mr. Tebow's alleged misconduct raises a question, a fundamental question, which history answers in the affirmative. Has the Justice Department, has the FBI been institutionally corrupted to its very core, to the point where neither Congress nor the American people can trust the FBI, can trust the DOJ? And I think virtually every single American who's rational believes neither institution is worthy of our trust. And I think this will have consequences long term for the country.
So don't worry, because Merrick Garland, the attorney general, sent down a memo saying we've got to stop the partisan political activities. But who is it targeting? The political appointees at the Department of Justice, not the career bureaucrats like Tebow. Doesn't it apply to him? They say, you know, we don't want you in your political events. We don't want you making political statements. And that applies to the political appointees, who everybody knows is a political appointee. So this is, they put Band-Aids on this stuff, like thinking you're going to fool the American people as to what's going on here. But you're talking about a lack of leadership. We're in a crisis at the Department of Justice, clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, we're heading into the second half hour of the broadcast. If you're listening on your local station, sometimes they don't carry the full hour. One, they should. Tell them they should. But if they don't, you can flip over and watch us right now live. We are broadcasting live television and radio, audio and video right now. That is on Facebook. It is on YouTube. It is on Rumble. It is on ACLJ.org. You can find us on all those platforms, as well as all your other favorite social media platforms. We're providing new content all day long. 24 hours a day. Obviously, the legal work that we've been doing, we talked about earlier in the show, putting Governor Newsom on notice. We can't do it without the support of ACLJ members. And right now is the last day of our matching challenge. So I encourage you all to go to aclj.org, make that donation now. If you're able to, please do. Today is a great day to do it because today is the last day where your money is effectively doubled for our work. We'll be right back with more.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. If you're just joining us, we talked about our work in California on the life issue and seven other states going on right now. We talked about that a brand new case is about to be launched. Can't announce it yet, not ready to, but it's a huge case on the life issue with big implications. We talked about what's going on at the FBI, more revelations. The ACLJ sent down another FOIA request demand to get information about not just the FBI telling Zuckerberg and others to squelch the Hunter Biden story, but that you had an FBI agent in charge doing the same thing internally within the Federal Bureau of Investigation. That's all big breaking news, and the ACLJ is involved in every aspect of this. We're coming up. We're going to get into this whole attack, which I think you're going to see tomorrow night, Logan. You're going to see. You've been watching this. This whole, you know, label conservatives, semi-fascist, whatever that even means. That seems they're testing it. I mean, that was a test. That wasn't an accident.
No, I think they were testing it. Yeah, we're going to have speeches from President Biden coming up where he's clearly going to be hitting conservatives hard for pretty much his entire. I mean, it's essentially the kickoff, the unofficial kickoff.
It is.
Of his campaign. We saw the filing start to happen. He's going for round two against President Trump, and I think that is pretty.
You think that's clear?
I think it's pretty clear that that's at least what they're preparing for. They're preparing for the scenario that is going to be Biden Trump 2. And what does that look like? What does that look like for the next 2 years leading up to it? Obviously, they are trying to make the best case they can to say why President Trump should not be the potential front runner. But if we just look at the facts right now, he absolutely would be if you took any poll in the country right now. You'd have, you know, Trump currently leading. So you have this attack on the conservative movement, maybe more specifically even the Trump conservative movement, in a way to try to galvanize the Democratic base and also to really start to put a damper on any sort of momentum coming out of sort of the MAGA conservatives.
Which is a big portion of the Republican Party, and it's a big portion of the American populace. So you're asking, but none of these are accidents. Listen, it's not an accident that they're using the phrase perinatal in the abortion legislation. It's not an accident that an FBI agent gets caught doing what he shouldn't have been doing and is now leaving. He said on his own volition, he's retiring. How many of these do we have to hear? Why is it every time there's an issue like this, there's an FBI agent in the middle of it doing things that are totally inappropriate, or a judge in the same case doing something inappropriate, like posting things against the person that he just signed and authorized
search
warrant?
He'll get an MSNBC deal. He'll be
Jordan said yesterday. He's right.
He'll be out there, you know, as a commentator, I'm sure, very soon.
There's no shame now being removed from your position.
No, not if you can come off holier than thou to your political opinion or your political side. If you can come off as someone who did the right thing, even if it meant sacrificing your career. But really what it means is getting you a book deal and also getting you a commentator spot, you know, making, you know, six figures on one of these top cable news networks. That's just the deal. So it doesn't matter. Again, like you said, what you're sacrificing for it. it's an interesting move, if you will. If you're talking about a selfish move, it's an interesting selfish move.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We've opened up our phone lines and getting comments also on our social media in whatever platform you're using. Let me say this, though. Tonight, live, out of our studios, we are doing a concert with our band. Full band, audience, live audience here. We're going to be broadcasting it live on Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, ACLJ.org. I'm going to also give you some updates as to some matters that are developing. There's stuff happening during the day. I get a chance to talk during these concerts so I can update people on what's happening. I'm going to talk about these cases. You're not going to want to miss it. We have a great set planned. The entire band's here. We're going to have a great time. It's at 8 o'clock Eastern Time on, again, Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, ACLJ.org. Am I leaving anything out? I think that's it.
I think you got all of it. We're covered. That's where we're going to be live.
Yeah. We're going to be live, and I'm going to be able to, which means I'll be able to give you live updates about other issues that are happening. So the songs kind of fit the mood of where the country is right now. It's going to be a great set. A lot of great tunes. You're going to want to stay tuned. Also, support the work of the ACLJ. Do that at ACLJ.org in our matching challenge campaign. Last days today. Back with more in a moment.
Welcome back to Secula. We are taking your phone calls. If you have a question or comment, now's the time to give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be broadcasting again for another close to half an hour. We'll be taking some calls, though, in the next 10 minutes. So this is the perfect time to give us a call. Again,
I want to play President Biden's bite where he used the phrase semi-fascist in describing Americans.
Well, I don't think it wasn't a bite specifically about that. It was... They followed up with it. It was a private event where he brought that up.
But don't we have audio?
We have audio of that specifically. Do we do? Okay, we do. Never mind. Sorry.
Logan, you're correct.
No, I'm correct. All right. Yeah. Okay. No, we don't have audio of that. We have audio from the fallout of that.
And he never said I shouldn't have said that.
No, he actually kind of doubled down and said, you know what I meant. And that was sort of the bite thing we had, was him saying, you know what, we can get the exact quote possible. But it's come up now in the White House press briefing with...
They're testing this.
Oh, they're testing how far they can push it before, without getting to a basket of deplorables. You know, they're trying to get
it's getting pretty close.
Getting close to that. And what's the line? And when will people... Like, as they said, ultra MAGA, then the MAGA people embraced that, and that backfired on them. And now they're going, well, people aren't going to wear a shirt that says semi-fascist.
Right.
So maybe we can get away with that one, because that's like, you know, maybe a little hardcore.
I want to know from our audience, how do you feel about being labeled that way? Because that's what they're doing. They're labeling conservatives this way. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I want to play a press statement. This is from Green Jean-Pierre. This is the White House press briefing press secretary. Let's play number 37.
You know, we have seen MAGA Republicans attack our democracy. We have seen MAGA Republicans take away our rights, make threats of violence, including this weekend. And that is what the president was referring to when you all asked me last week about the semi-fascism comment.
Okay. Can I break this down? Because, realize, folks, you need to call. I want to hear your comments on this at 800-684-3110. Here's what she said. So we've seen MAGA Republicans attack our democracy. But when they did that, Logan, you're right. Labeling somebody a MAGA Republican or ultra-MAGA did not work for them.
No, if anything, it galvanized a base that was maybe a little quieter than they had been in the last couple of years. So now that didn't work. So now they got to come up with these terms. And that's what happened. And we do have a little bit of a clip that comes from a reporter at that press gaggle and said, what did you mean by semi-fascist, sir? So you can play that. You have to listen and listen to what President Biden had to say.
What do you mean by semi-fascism, sir?
In December, you will...
You know what I mean.
Yeah, you know what I mean. And you know what he means? Conservatives. Because here's what the next thing that, in the same statement that Karine Jean-Pierre said, this is what she said. Republicans are taking away our rights. You know what they're talking about there? The issue of abortion not being a constitutionally right recognized under the U.S. Constitution. That's what they're talking about. Then they say, and that is what the president was referring to when you all asked me last week about the semi-fascism comments. So you're a semi-fascist if you're a MAGA Republican, which means America first, and you're pro-life. To them, that reads That qualifies. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, Bill's calling from Wyoming on line one. Bill, you're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple of things. I found some extra money, so I donated it to you today, okay?
I appreciate that, Bill. Thank you very much.
Sure. And I really appreciate buying that deplorable shirt for me. Every time I wear it, somebody gives me a compliment that they liked
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that was
when did you do
close
that?
To a decade ago, I think we did. That was during the Hillary and, oh, wait, was it 2016? Yeah, that was quite a while.
8 years ago.
So, yeah, thank you.
Now, remember when you did that, but go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, I'm really shocked about what happened on January 6th and what President Biden calling me a semi-fascist. That really...
Well, he's calling...
Me.
If you're a America first in policy, if you are pro-life, because when he says to Republicans are taking away rights, that's what they mean, abortion. I guess that it qualifies as a semi-fascist. If you question what the FBI is doing... with agents that are issuing political statements and then getting search warrants on the people they don't like, which is exactly what happened. All this is relative, and it's all relevant. But, you know, the thing is, they're testing it. And now they have this big speech prepared that's going to be delivered tomorrow. I suspect the word semi-fascist will not be in it. But there's going to be something else they're testing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're going to be testing other kind of phrases, but they're really what they're doing is starting to just test the waters for 2024. And what you've seen, and I've said this a few times now, we've had this discussion, which is 6 months ago, heck, maybe 2 months ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, you had President Biden not even as the suspected frontrunner, or maybe not even as someone who they were going to potentially put up as the Democratic nominee. We saw massive failures. We saw a guy who's aging rapidly. Things that were not, even the liberals were going, yeah, this is probably not a two-term president, so let's start looking at other options. What has changed, and I don't know if it's money, I don't know if it's what's happened, they have taken these small wins for President Biden, some I wouldn't even consider them wins, repackaged him, tried to make him look cool again, and now they're clearly making him out to be the front runner, President Biden, for 2024.
By coming over this edgy.
And saying, look, he's cool. And this is a run to 2024 to see, can he probably keep it up? Can the stamina stay? Now that you've had, look, if we're always honest here, a tightening of the polls over the last few weeks.
Yeah, so let's listen to number 38. She goes on to explain who she's referencing when they're talking about MAGA Republicans or semi-fascist.
This is Karine Jean-Pierre.
Yep.
And he was clear, not all Republicans. There are some mainstream Republicans. He mentioned Governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, and talked about him and what he's been doing and how he said, called him out of being that mainstream Republican. But we have seen these MAGA extreme Republicans making these kind of comments, which is dangerous. And this is what we are talking about.
So I'd like to know what... Governor Larry Hogan in Maryland, who is a Republican, thinks about the issue of abortion. What do you think it might be? Do you think he is pro-abortion? Yes. So there's your litmus test. He's not extreme. He's mainstream because he's in favor of abortion. So if you're pro-life, you're now in the mainstream. And these are the quote kind of comments. So the MAGA extreme. So there's two things now. Ultra-MAGA, right, Logan? MAGA extreme, and then there is the semi-fascist. So you kind of the progression or digression, I guess, downward. That's not the last comment he said about this. I'll play the other one in a moment. But this is a political calculus. I mean, this is they're trying to come up, like you said, they're trying to make him the Joe Biden in the aviators, the cool Joe Biden, yeah. Rather than the Joe Biden that was having a lot of problems now. You got to be honest, the races have tightened up all over the country. And in a week, folks, in 1 week, not even, the end of this weekend, when this weekend's over and the holiday weekend's done, let me explain something to you, all right? It is 9 weeks from the midterm elections. And right now, the Republicans had a big lead in the House of Representatives. Now the polls are showing things are very tight. Senate, which was leaning Republican, looks like now it may be leaning Democrat. These are all relevant. You want to take another call, Logan?
Yeah, let's go. Debbie in Colorado. You're on the air. Hello, Debbie.
Oh, hi. Hi, my comment is, I think it's despicable, especially coming from the mouth of somebody who's supposedly the strongest person in the world, and because of his false title, and how when people are name calling, that's childish. It belongs in grammar school, and it's a reflection of who they are.
Yeah,
and
I think. Look, I mean, I think. Look, you got the president of the United States calling people that he disagrees with semi-fascist. I don't think we've ever had that in American history, because that's I don't even know what a semi-fascist is. You know, Mussolini was a fascist. They're totalitarians. He was more of a fascist after Hitler rose to power. He was awful before, still a fascist. Was he a semi-fascist before Hitler, and then after Hitler he's a full fascist? No, he was a fascist. But they do this to get a reaction, and the reaction they got here was a lot of blowback.
Yeah, absolutely. They did get a lot of blowback, but that doesn't mean they're not going to stop trying to figure this out. It's not an easy time for them to figure out what the line is. Where's a line that even liberals go, maybe we're going too far here? I don't know if that line exists anymore, truthfully. I think they could probably go full-blown Nazi, and there'd be people who would go, yeah, it's great. I really do think that we've gotten so politically divisive, unfortunately, to where the name-calling can get to the most extreme rhetoric. And and that's what happens right now, by the way, on every social media platform. But when it's coming out of the White House, it carries maybe a little bit more weight. Because all of a sudden, a lot of people who are maybe insane and on social media, and I mean that in the clinical, like, violent, start hearing these kind of rhetoric, starts hearing, semi-fascist, essentially referring to a whole half the country as potential sympathizers to things. It could activate the wrong people, and it could get very violent very quickly. So I think that they are on thin ice from creating a much bigger disaster once again.
All right, we've got a lot more in the next segment ahead. One more segment to go. Share this feed with your friends. We'll give you updates on a couple of international issues, too, that are brewing that are very, very big. Also, don't forget tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time on all of our platforms, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, ACLJ.org. The band is playing, the Jay Sekulow Band's playing, and I'm going to be able to give you updates during there's so much stuff happening, updates during the concert. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll be back with more in a moment. Broadcast. I'm going to be taking your calls and comments. I want to go right to an issue that is front and center and very, very troubling development. Colonel Wes Smith is with us. Wes, you're a senior military advisor. We've got an issue. Israel, which we obviously do a lot of work in defense of the Jewish state, they cannot get a call back from the President of the United States. And Anthony Blinken will not meet with the National Security Advisor for Israel. This is, we talked about this before we went on air, folks. This is what this administration is doing right now.
Yeah, it's a critical time. And the reason the Biden administration does not want to talk with Prime Minister Lapid, President Biden himself, or our own Secretary of State to deal with their national security advisor is because this ill-advised, horrible new Iran nuclear deal is about to be finalized, signed, and made public.
Public while we just took out drones involving Iran?
Yeah, made public while they actually have some of our former officials on an assassination hit list.
Yeah.
But the Biden administration is determined to do this, and because it's imminent. I mean, this new JCPOA, the new Iran nuclear deal, is likely to come about any day now. And so because of that, President Biden and his team, they do not want to talk with our main ally in the Middle East, Israel. They want to go ahead and get this passed. I guess in their mind, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. It's a horrible time because what is happening in this, Jay, in this new agreement, and there are several sources that have leaked some of the details, the Iranians have not compromised literally on anything. The United States has compromised on multiple things.
Now, why are we doing this, Wes? What is the political? I mean, we know he wants to chalk up a win. Is it chalking up a win at any cost? Because that's what it seems like.
It is. You know, President Biden, whenever we had that debacle a year ago and left Afghanistan, he refused to accept the advice of his generals who said we need a small stabilizing force in Afghanistan. He was absolutely, as we say, bullheaded about this and made the decision on his own. He is doing the same thing with this Iran nuclear deal, in spite of all the evidence that says we should not do this. I mean, Iran has violated so many terms of the original agreement. The IAEA says even now that they could go to 90% weapons-grade uranium in a matter of days. They have enough enriched uranium already to have at least one nuclear bomb. Instead of saying this is not acceptable, and instead of putting even more sanctions on Iran, part of what President Biden is apparently agreeing to in this new agreement is to lift the sanctions on Iran, which will give them billions of dollars of cash immediately and hundreds of billions in the near future.
So you talk to the Iranians, but you're not talking to the Israelis,
yeah, exactly,
or ally.
Exactly.
What's the calculus on that?
I think part of it's a political win. Part of it is it's part of the Obama legacy that this in 2015, this JCPOA was established. And again, that was part of a assumed political victory also. It makes no sense in reality. I'm trying to figure out a way to, from a military national security point of view, to justify this. And it literally makes no sense, which is why not only is Israel against this, every Arab partner in the Middle East is also against this negotiation with Iran. President Biden is not only defying our ally Israel, he is defying our Arab allies as well.
I mean, you understand what Wes just said. It's not just Israel. It's the partners of Israel in the Middle East, the Gulf states, Jordan, Egypt, these countries, Saudi Arabia, that think this is a disaster. But nevertheless, the Biden administration is going to push forward because they're the antithesis of American first. I mean, that's become, you know, totally clear. So we're getting calls coming 1-800-684-3110. And Wes, you've got a blog up at ACLJ.
Yes, sir. Which talks about this Iran.
What's the title?
That's an excellent question, Jeff. What is
okay,
the title?
Okay, we'll find it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Israel and Iran putting our chief Middle East ally in a bind.
There
and that's
go.
What we're doing.
Now,
yes.
Folks, and it is putting them in a bind. So it's up at ACLJ.org. We encourage you to get. We're going to take some phone calls. 800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's just go in order as they're coming in. Let's go to Bernice, who's calling in Washington State. You're on the air.
Hi, Bernice.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I want to know, why does no one press our press corps, or in the press corps, ask Karine Jean-Pierre specifically in what way the Republican Party or the MAGA group are subverting our democracy? Asking for voter ID enhances our democracy by ensuring only Americans vote who are supposed to vote.
Yeah,
one
vote. But here's what you need to understand. They say it. Here are this is what they'll say. They will justify this. Let me play number 39. This is what I call the unification aspect of his speech.
When Joe Biden, President Biden, was making his comments last week, look, this is a president that believes when you are president of the United States, it is your duty, it is your responsibility to have the strongest voice when it comes to democracy, when speaking about democracy. And that's what you're going to continue to hear from this president.
Yeah, but that's not what you're hearing from this president. He's labeling his political opponents as semi-fascists. And when they talk about losing rights, they're talking about abortion. So that's the whole pro-life community that they kind of put in this lump sum. Interestingly, there was pushback. I mean, Logan, CNN, MSNBC pushed back on this semi-fascist line. I think a lot of people thought this one was open. They probably loved it.
But I don't know,
it made news in all the networks.
News, but it doesn't mean they necessarily disagreed with it. I think CNN, maybe because they're trying to figure out, CNN is in a massive restructuring right now, so they're trying to play this middle America and see if they can do it.
Does that work, by the way?
So far, not quite yet, but I do have hope in it. I think CNN, as much as it has damaged goods right now, and I would say that is saying that lightly, it is a brand with historic value that did mean something else than it means now. It wasn't just a left-wing bastion for the left. It was actually where you got your news for international content. I still think they do some of the best job when it comes to during the Ukraine war and before that during Afghanistan. They had people on the ground there. But when it comes to these situations,
they see journalism.
But right now, No, right now you have, sure, it's making news, but don't think it's not with a wink and nod saying we agree. Same with MSNBC, same with some of these far left news sources. It's fine because no one's watching them. And that's just part of the facts right now is that when you're number three and number four in the ratings most of the time,
no one's watching.
I mean, people are watching. It's just activating your own base and activating a conservative group. Now, what they're hoping for, and this is just also the fact too, what they're hoping for is they say things like this, it activates a conservative base, but maybe it activates them to violence. Maybe it activates them to something that's more extreme, something more like the January 6th situation, and then they can flip on you. So don't take the bait. Goof on it all you want, because you should. This is ridiculous. But don't take the bait into anger, or it could be egg on your face.
But this is also goes back to the Iran situation with and not returning the... I mean, folks, you're hearing that here. That Israel's prime minister calls and is not getting a return call from the president of the United States. But you're saying, Wes, that's because they want to score the political point of getting this JCPOA, this Iran nuclear deal done.
Right. Yeah, it would be a very awkward conversation right now because Israel, as well as our Arab neighbors, their allies are against this. And so rather than deal with it and discuss it with our ally, they're simply avoiding the phone call.
All right, folks, that does it for today's broadcast. But let me tell you what we're doing tonight. We are going to go live at 8 o'clock Eastern time. Now, I want you, if you're watching on any of our social media platforms right now or listening to us on radio, go to ACLJ.org or YouTube or Rumble or Facebook. And we're going to have a live concert. But because it's live and it's happening live, I'm going to be able to give you updates because there's a lot of things breaking. So we're going to give you updates during the concert. About every three songs, we're going to be able to give you an update. Music's going to be great. You're going to get a lot of information. I want to encourage you to participate. And also, this is it on the matching challenge, folks. This is the last day, last moment. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. I want to encourage you to make that gift to ACLJ.org if you're able. If you donate $20, we get $40. It's that critical, ACLJ.org. And tonight at 8 o'clock, Jay Sekulow Band and updates for you. Back with more tomorrow.